It's exciting right now. Only because there's things I know in the spirit, and there's things that I see happening in the natural, that God's moving. God is healing, not just physically, but he's healing families emotionally. He's rejoining them. Because I see it. I'm a witness to it. And that's all I can say at this time. But I rejoice with all those who are seeing their families all come back together and join together in one accord. Hallelujah. But yeah, those testimonies were great. But God is, he's so good. He's so faithful. He's so understanding. He is so compassionate. And he is so loving. And what's love got to do with it? About everything, yes. So Psalm 100. Open up Psalm 100. Verse 5. Psalm 100. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. For the Lord is good. Amen. Say this with me. Say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And how do we know that? Because his faithfulness. Because of his faithfulness. See, the Hebrew word for faithfulness is emunah. Emunah. And it comes, in its root, comes from the meaning to be established and to be confirmed. Did you get that? From this root also comes the word amen, meaning surely and truly. Some of you might not have got that, but I'll pray that you will. God's goodness is based on his love and faithfulness. Now, Luke 18, verses 18 and 19. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. I want you to see something here that you may not have picked up on. Jesus' question to the ruler who came to him and called him the good teacher was in essence asking this: do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? See, undoubtedly, the man did not pick up on the implication of Jesus' reply, that he was right in calling him good because Jesus truly was God. Psalm 34, verse 8. This is the Living Bible. Oh, put God on the test and see how kind he is. See for yourself the way his mercies shower down on all who trust in him. The psalmist David here is saying, try this. I know you'll like it. See, I tried it and I liked it. Yes, ever since on Easter morning, April 19th, 1987, I liked it. How about you? How about you? Did you taste and see that the Lord is good? Did you? And His mercies what? Endure forever. Man, I thought I'd get a little bit more out of all of you. Hallelujah. When we take the first steps of obedience in following after our God, we cannot help discovering that He is good and kind. As we confidently lean on, rely on, and trust in Him daily, we will experience how good God is. Confidently leaning on, relying on, and trusting in God is by faith. Romans 10:17 says, "Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now I want you to hear this verse from the New Life Version. So then, faith comes to us by hearing the good news. And the good news comes by someone preaching it. That's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm preaching the good news to you about Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to do what it says in Hebrews 10:25. And it says this. This is the New Life Version. Let us not stay away from church meetings. Some people are doing this all the time. I'm only giving you the word. And we're supposed to encourage and comfort each other as we see the day of His return coming closer. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It's the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He said, "I have kept the faith." As Paul did, we also are to live a life of fighting the good fight of faith, especially to get to the end and know that we have finished what God called each one of us to do. And how do we do it? By keeping the faith. There is no more rewarding life than one that is led by Holy Spirit. If all we do that is to sit down and listen to the Holy Spirit. See, that should be our goal. That should be our goal. To live His way. And to follow His lead. To keep the faith in every step of the way. When we use our faith, everything that God has promised in His word opens up to us. Faith is the substance of what we hope for and the evidence of what we do not yet see. That is according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It is what gets the ball rolling because faith makes a way in the Spirit for what we are believing to come into the physical. Even when we do not see the manifestation yet, faith is working on our behalf. Amen. By faith we receive from God, and by faith we live for God, from faith to faith. It's our confident trust in God and His word and our determination not to give in or give up. That can bring us everything good that we have in our heart if we keep the faith. We all need to make the switch. We need to take the leap and say what we want, not what we have. Because in Mark 11:23, Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." This here is called the law of faith. We need faith in God, not in the object of our request. He is to be the focus of our faith, and always. Mr. Osmond, you, after we prayed, and I knew that God was moving and touched you on Wednesday, and I know I can say this to you, sir. You got up and you said, "Well, I want to be the first one that tells Dr. Brent that I got my eyes restored." You said, "I want to be." How about you saying, "I will be the first one who tells Dr. Brent my eyesight has been completely restored, Doc." And when he says how, you're going to say, "Jesus, Jehovah Rapha." Don't you doubt that. Don't let the devil beat into your head that it's never going to happen, because we know it's going to happen. We know the prayer. We know the anointing that went on you. That blockage is dissolved. If it takes him growing another artery all the way around it, he will. And that pucker's gone in Jesus' name. I didn't say it's going to go. I said it's gone. See, that's how we speak. It is gone. Hallelujah. I knew I could say it to you. Every time I would go over that, I know that. We got to, even though our words, you sound like they're right, we got to get a little bit more. Okay? Our words are so powerful. Vicki says that all the time. But Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." How do we please God? There you go. That's the answer. Don't be afraid of it, because that's what it takes. Faith. Have the faith to say, "That's how I approach the throne." In faith. Through grace. You get to go right into the throne room. People in the Old Testament couldn't do that. They could not do that. You know, those people back then, and the people all through this Bible, didn't have the Bible. No, they had these scrolls that they read every night, but people didn't go home and study. They all didn't have their own set of scrolls. We have the Word of God. We have all the examples. And you think those are any different than what we're living through right now? The trying times, the attacks coming against Israel, that's basically what's coming against the body of Christ, his ecclesia. Nothing new. But through Jesus Christ, we have the victory. We have the victory. Don't be alarmed by what's going on. Do not be alarmed. These things are going to happen. They're supposed to be exposed. But God. But God. Take comfort in knowing it's but God. He is in control. O Lord, our Lord, Jehovah is in control. That's what that means when you read that in the psalm. Check me out. Go into Hebrew like I did. I don't want to give you false hopes or false information. I'm giving you the Word of God. Don't be afraid. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of a sound mind. Amen. Now that sound mind means you don't have to be excited by what they're talking about the economy. Inflation doesn't have no effect on us. It doesn't. The appliances quit, God will provide. Amen. Ask Trace, I didn't get excited. I went home and said, oh, the breaker went out, and then it wasn't a breaker at all. But I reset the breaker, and the other thing worked. I said, okay, it still don't work. No, okay. I said, looks like we got to go shopping for a new microwave. Oh, that wasn't the old me. No, I'd have been yelling at her because she cleaned it and she killed it. I'd also been taking it apart to try and fix it. I ain't fixing them no more. Nah, I got too many appliances. If we're going to splice this and splice that. Come on, Gary, we've done that, right? We make it all last. Gary said it, yeah. Yeah. But he does love his concrete. Oh, and he calls it, it's evil. Oh, and he floats that thing. I have never forgot that, my brother. I don't even think about looking at concrete anymore. Okay. Listen. It says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Which means if we keep the faith, everything is ours. That is strong faith speaking out right now. I'm just telling you. Okay. Now, where are we at here? Okay, I got myself all mixed up here. But I know the Holy Spirit brings it back together. Well, we looked at those scriptures, and we're talking about diligence. Diligence is about continuing to believe, even if our flesh wants to give in or give up. None of us can expect godly rewards without first seeking God. See, He is our source, and every good and perfect gift comes from Him. You can put in your notes, because I see that Michelle's writing, James chapter 1, verse 17, that is from. Just so you know, you're getting the Word, and even though some of the times I don't give you all the scriptures. But it takes faith to access God, to please God, and to receive from Him. Diligence is important. Faith is not a one-time thing. But when we keep the faith, we can be confident that we've paved the way for everything we need and desire to come to pass. Now, you could open up to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. This is another example of keeping the faith. See, it's about a woman who wanted a baby. The Word calls her the Shunammite woman. And the prophet Elisha told her that she would have a baby, and she did. That alone was a miracle. But it had been a long time waiting. But she conceived. See, the story goes on to say that one day, while out in the fields, there was an accident, and the son God gave her fell. And he hit his head. And he died. And he died in her arms. Can you imagine that feeling? I can't. I can't even fathom that, what she went through. But now I want you to look at verse 18. Verse 18 there in 2 Kings chapter 4. And when the child grew, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. Come on, Dad. You should have carried him. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And it went up, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. By the action of placing him on the bed of Elijah and closing the door speaks strongly of her faith. Despite her overwhelming sorrow, she placed the fate of her son close to Elijah, through whose words and by means of God's mercy, she had gained her boy in the first place. Placing the body on the bed of the man of God also kept his death secret until she could reach Elisha, the one whom she had once seen the impossible accomplished. She got pregnant. So many years was her desire, but it wasn't happening. And now she doesn't have a son. Verse 22, and she called unto her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. And he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor Sabbath. See, that's when you could see the prophet on those occasions. And she said, her reply was, it shall be well. Okay? With her mouth, she was speaking her faith. And she spoke it very strongly. Especially with that situation that she was facing. She said those words, it shall be well. I want you to say that. Say, it shall be well. Okay? Verse 24, then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive. Now, if you look at it in King James and in the New King James, it has a capital D there. That's to emphasize, drive. And go forward. Slack not your riding for me, except I tell you. So she went and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, look, the Shunammite woman, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Say that, it is well. She took a leap in her faith. She went from shall be to is. Now hear what I'm saying to you. It didn't take just those three scriptures to get there. See, I believe that she was in faith for many, many years. From the time that boy was her desire to the time she birthed him, she wasn't about to give up on her faith just because an accident stole his life. Her words were a display of strong faith in God's power to turn her situation around. Her son was dead, but her confession was alive. To say it is well and mean it is the highest achievement of Christian living. Notice that she said what she wanted instead of what she had. See, that is Christian faith. That pleased God and the prophet that day. Was it easy? No. But she was on a mission to see her son's life restored. She knew in her heart that her son could be restored. She spoke it. It is well. She refused to let the devil and life's troubles steal the miracle God had given her years before. So she just kept saying what she wanted. Does it sound familiar? If I just touch the tassel of his garment. She wanted it to be well, and it was. That switch that she made in her heart, mind, and mouth was faith in action, even against the odds she was facing. Saying what she wanted, and not just saying it, but believing it was so. And how'd she do that? As she was determined with unwavering faith. And that changed everything for the Shunammite woman and her son. It can change everything for us as well. It can. But we must have determined, unwavering faith. Verse 27. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said to her, "Leave her alone, for her soul is deep in distress. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." He was moved with compassion. Told Gehazi, "Get your hands off of her. There's a reason she came here. There's a reason she's at my feet. I don't know what it is yet, but she wouldn't be here. And God hasn't revealed it to me yet." Elisha knew something was wrong, especially because he could see in the distance how she was driving forward, you know, to get to him. See, but God had not yet revealed it, especially with this particular situation. He didn't know the issue. And he was the prophet. The prophets don't know everything. They only know what God made known to them. That's the way it is today. But be careful who you listen to. Amen. Careful who you listen to. Check them out. See if it lines up with the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, I wouldn't put a lot behind it. Some prophets start out right, but then they get prideful. That's why I tell you, be aware of who you're listening to. Verse 28. Then she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready. Get your tennis shoes on. Boy, you're going to run. And take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child." Elijah's staff was symbolic of the power of God and the authority of the prophet. Remember Elijah? His was a cloak. Each one had something different. All kind of different staffs. But when laid upon the body of the child, the staff would signify that the prophet intended to come and that he had faith that God would restore the boy. Verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as God lives, so with this oath, the Shunammite woman asserted her faith in the living God. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them, laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying there dead on the bed. But did you notice what he said? The child has not awakened. He didn't say the child is dead. The child has not awakened. Verse 33. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, the boy and himself. Gehazi wasn't in the picture. He didn't want any doubt in the room. Okay? That's what I believe. He wanted to be alone with the boy and with the Lord. Because it says, and he prayed to the Lord. He sought God, who alone can grant life and perform the miraculous. Verse 34. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked about, back and forth in the house. And he went up and stretched himself out on the child again. Then the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her. And when she came in to see him, he said, "Pick up your son." She went in and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Determined, unwavering faith will change everything. Listen, there's no immunity to trouble. What will you believe for? What will you say when the trouble's there? In the darkest hour, God can and God will help. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. Trust Him. He will help. Don't give in or flat out give up. God can do whatever good thing you believe for. The Shunammite woman wouldn't take no for an answer. Now, what was really happening, though, is that she was keeping the faith in the midst of the great trouble. And in the end, she got what she wanted. Her son's life was restored. Our results in life depend upon ourselves and our actions. God will do whatever we can believe for. Say that again. God can do whatever we can believe for. Now, I know that's a big statement, but see, it's the truth. The Shunammite woman had a big problem, but she also had faith in a very big God. A God who is more than enough. A God who is known as El Shaddai. Nothing in this world lightens the gloom in a life like a God promise to hold on to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18. These are the last scriptures. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now that verse just said, our light afflictions are but for a moment. It doesn't say that they're for a lifetime, does it? No. Verse 18 goes on to tell us not to look at the things that are temporal or temporary. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We must be a people of great thoughts, practical faith, and heroic patience. And if we keep the faith, everything is ours. And it's our thoughts, faith, and patience that will bring the everything into us. I know there's trouble in life. But so what? But so what, right? With our faith, we can come against it and say, no more. We can say no more. We're not putting up with you, trouble. Because you're standing there, and as you're saying that, you just stand next to you. There's a big old angel standing there. And they also know that Jesus is right on the other side. Jesus is on the right, the angel's right there behind you, right by the left. And when they look at you and you're standing in faith, trouble's going to leave. Trouble is a spirit. Everything is spiritual. That's what our warfare is against. Not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. Come on. That's what it is. And the rulers of darkness. That's where our warfare is. And that's why we say, how do you fight it? On your knees. And you'll have the victory. Because we serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's mighty, he's victorious, he's already won the battle. He's already won it. All we got to do is reinforce that, what he has said, by believing and trusting in him. And it's called having faith. Jesus said this, faith moves mountains. It makes even the biggest mountainous obstacles something we can move out of our way. You know what it takes, Joey? Seed. Every one of us have that little bit of seed, and it starts. You take that seed, and it's going to start to grow. When it starts to grow, you're going to be like this, and then like this, because that's more faith you get. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you can't forsake the assembly of yourself together. That's what the Scripture says. There are those that will make every excuse in the world not to be in the house of God, not to be here to hear the Word. But see, they need the Word. We need the Word. The more we get together, the stronger we become as a body of Christ. We are the ecclesia. We are the ones who are supposed to be reigning. Everybody says Satan is the god of this world. And that may be what it is, but he don't have no authority over you. He doesn't have no authority over me. What do we have, Dean? What kind of authority? I like when Dean got up there. Come on, give me that demonstration. How's it go, my brother? Come on. I love it. Oh, now he's got to put his jacket on because he knows he's going to be on the camera. Okay. I love it because I remember when you preached that message. I loved it.
It was actually the Bishop T.D. Jakes. He came out in front of a whole auditorium full of prisoners in an orange jumpsuit. Now, you know, T.D. Jakes is a big man. Say big man.
Big man.
And he come out, and I don't know how he get it in because you can't take, but he had a full belt with a holster and a gun in it, and he had a badge on. And he said, if you won't respect the exousia, that's delegated authority that he had in that badge, then you're going to have to deal with dynamis. That's the power. You ain't going to submit to the exousia. That's what we all have. You're going to have to deal with the dynamis. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, my brother. We are more powerful than we give ourselves credit for and even know. That's the problem. Teresa, you know, I would have you come up here, but I don't know if you'd bring it back to the way you did it. But she's not talking about healing. And she kept saying, the Word says we're healed. The Word says we're healed. And I says, yeah. She says, why is it we just don't accept that? Why don't we accept that? Why don't we believe that? We say it, but we don't believe it. It's not in our hearts. I have to deal with those things too. But I'm telling you, we kept saying it. She kept saying, it's not there. She started crying. She says, I want that for everyone. She said, why are we all making it so hard? It's not hard. Yeah, the body comes out, but we got to speak to the body. And the Word says, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. So we are healed. We are healed. So you have the authority. The devil has no authority. He was stripped of his authority. Jesus took the keys of hell. He has the keys of hell. Hell has no control anymore. Jesus did that for us. But we got to get it where it counts, into the heart. I start to believe it. I mean, I know I'm talking to a lot of you who say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, we've been Christians for all, we've been believers for how long? But see, we still got work to do. We're not perfect. We're not perfecto yet. You know? We've got a ways to go. But God's willing to work with us. And that's why he's there. That's why he wants this time. He wants you to hear from him. And you hear through the word. And that's what we're here for. That's what we gather together. So that when we preach the word, we can go out of here, we get built up, we get refreshing. Yeah. You should be walking out of here like Rocky did. You know? I can always see that when he ran. He was victorious. He never lost that fight in the first one. How many times did they have to take him to beat him up to get his title? Praise God. So, and if it took him that time, you can do it too, and you can be and wear that championship belt. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we